I admitted I had enough skill for that, and then I lowered the boom. I told him that the laser cannon wasn't operational. That seemed to stop him cold, but only for an instant. He said, if it was constructed to be a weapon, then it will function as one. My mind raced. I hadn't seen a single weapon among Nonin's people. Tools, of course, but no weapons, and certainly nothing that was going to power a discharged laser cannon. So I asked myself, what was the worst that could come of my executing a flyby over the Imperial base? The Imperial scanners would show the Falcon to be harmless, even wearing the ferocious mask Nonin's group had applied. They would warn us to steer clear of the base, and that would be the end of it. If I agree to do this, I said, will you permit me to live among you for a period of time? He assumed I had no home of my own, which was true, of course, but had nothing to do with my request. I told him I wanted to learn how it was that he and his people lived as long as they did. There was no technique, he said, surprising me. We simply live as long as we wish to live. I didn't reveal my suspicions that there was a lot more to it. I was still convinced that the secret was in the food or the water, or lurking in some endocrine gland Nonin had that I didn't. I did make it clear that I wanted permission to take blood and tissue samples, permission to break the seal, as Nonin would have said. And he agreed to it. The Imperial base was several hundred kilometers distant, close to many of Hayato's hardest-hit areas. Nonin stood in the cockpit behind me and one of the droids, while six others sat in a circle on the deck of the main hold. I had already observed one of these communal rituals, but neither then nor now was I able to determine the intent. 50 kilometers out from the base, the Falcon let me know that the Imperials were scanning the ship, and shortly a voice barked through the comm, demanding to know who we were and where we were headed. By voice and telesponder, I identified the Falcon as a medical ship and transmitted a bogus flight plan that would take us 5 kilometers north of the base. The comm went silent for a moment. Then a different Imperial said, judging by the look of your ship, you've become a witch doctor. Just trying to blend in, I told him. We were warned to maintain our heading, which was precisely what I planned to do, but Nonin said it was crucial that we fly closer to the base. Announcing that he was going up top, he hurried for the ladder well that accessed the laser cannon turret, leaving me to come up with an excuse. My scanners indicate a storm along our heading, I told the base, and requested permission to come about to a vector that would put us within 3 kilometers of the Imperials. Their response was just what I expected. There is no storm, I was told. The Falcon's scanners were in error. I was warned a second time to maintain my course, and advised that I would be shot from the sky if I didn't obey. Chiming from the instrument panel had already appraised me that the ship was in weapons lock, but I also knew that by disappointing Nonin, I would ruin my chances of being allowed to remain among his people. So I did something I'd never done before. I gave the Falcon full throttle and flew straight for the base. I still have no idea how I managed to evade the Imperial laser bolts that streaked for the ship, particularly because I had my eyes closed for a good part of the run. I think, though, our luck had everything to do with the Falcon's astonishing speed and the Imperial's overconfidence. After all, it was just an old freighter. Before I knew it, we were 50 kilometers south of the base, and Nonin had returned to the cockpit. I was so busy checking the threat screens for signs of pursuers that I scarcely heard him when he said that the mission had been successful and that the base was gone. I directed his attention to one of the scanners that showed the base to be exactly where it was when we left, but he was adamant. The base was destroyed, and his people were avenged. If my way of looking at the world didn't restrict me to seeing in the moment, I would realize that the Imperials were gone. I remember telling him that everything dies in time, and I remember him telling me that the base had left before its time. On our return to the village, the Falcon was scrubbed clean of her mask, rubbed with oils enough to make a protocol droid envious, and adorned with flowers, inside and out. In small ceramic pots placed throughout the ship, sticks of fragrant incense burned. Though Noni never said as much, I believe the ship became a kind of temple for his people. They would find the slightest excuses for visiting me, aches and pains, minor cuts and rashes, and they would submit without complaint to blood draws and scans performed by the medical droids.